Today, does anyone know what today's date is?
Zayin Adar.
You don't skip, you do say Tachnun.
The reason you do a Suda, whatever for your sake, you want to say Aliyah to the Neshama. And Moshe Rabbeinu's Neshama doesn't need Aliyah, it's already reached the highest level. That's why you should say that.
Wow, that's what he says.
That's what I heard this morning.
He says that Moshe's neshama reached the highest level, and there's no need to. That's a chiddush neira. It's shayach to say that you've reached the level where you need to go no more.
That's why you do
it's a very big chiddush to say.
Do Ashkenazim say tachnun today?
So we'll talk about it. Let's talk about it. Okay. So the truth is, Ruba do say tachnun. The tier of Moshe Rabbeinu was not like Rashbi. Rashbi it's his megale. Saidais, Rashbi wanted to go. That's the difference. The difference between Moshe and Rashbi is Rashbi wanted to go. He wanted to go. Kiddush had enough. He ready, like he was a simcha of him. Finally, I get out of this world to go to the Olam of Hester. Moshe didn't want to go. Moshe begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let me go into Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to die. I think that speaks volumes. People, there are people that want to go. I had enough. And the people that don't want to go. A person who wants to leave this world had enough. To that degree, it's not the tsar is not the same type as Rachmana Litzlan, when there are people who suffer. People who are chronically ill and suffer Geferlich Yisurim, and they want to go. They want to go, and they keep.
Moshe wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael before you admitted.
Right, but Moshe did not want to die. Moshe clearly did not want to die. For Moshe dying, it was a very great tsar for Moshe to die. Moshe wanted to go on. The Mela, we are mishtatef in his tsar. And we mourn and we fast on the day that he died. It's Shulchan Aruch. It's Shulchan Aruch. It's supposed to be the end of our Chaim. It's listed in Shulchan Aruch as one of the days when you are supposed to fast. Why don't we fast that we are in violation of Shulchan Aruch by not fasting today? And that's the way it is. It's too hard. It's too hard for us to fast. So we don't fast. But Mikra Adin, we're really supposed to fast, and especially something this year, because this year it's not back to back with Tainus Esther. In a regular year, Zayin Adin, a week later, another fast. How much can you fast for? It's Sakana. But this year it's no big deal. It's Zayin Adar. We have a whole month to go. So whatever it is, but in any event, the minig olam, we don't fast. But Moshe Rabbeinu, at least we are mishtatef in his tsar. He did not want to die. He was healthy. He could have lived on a longer life, and therefore it's kedai to say tachnun and to fast and the mitzabel and his misa. It's an ace tsar. It's a yom tzayim. Rashbi couldn't wait to go. Rashbi was into the Olam HaNistar, the Olam, all the spiritual, and into the Kabbalah. He was Megala, the Sisrei Torah, the day of his Petira. It was a Simcha. That's what it says. It was a Simcha. It's a different type of person. Different strokes for different folks. The Mela, he had pleasure in leaving this world to be in contact and close in proximity with the Olam HaElyon and all of these mystical things. So, we're Mishtatef in your Simcha. You're happy to be there? We also be happy to be there. That's why when you kill a terrorist, it's a great simcha. Because that's where they want to go. So get them. Let's get them where they want to go.
Express
right away before they do any other harm. We'll get them where they want to go, and it'll be a big yom to get rid of them.
Your job is not to go out and die for your country. Your job is to get the enemy to die for his country.
Who said that?
Ooh, that's a good, very okay. So this is the issue. That's why it's an entirely different. Now, this is serious stuff. It's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's Matira and Rashi's Matira. It is an eighth Sara. Now, on the other hand, it's also it's a day of great Simcha today. Why? Because today was the birth of the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar on Zayin Adar, but the mistake, it's in Feresh HaChazal. Haman didn't realize that it's not a bad month. Just because Moshe Rabbeinu died, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. The birth of Moshe Rabbeinu is the birth of the Goyel. Tisha B'Av, we don't say Tachnun Tisha B'Av, why not? Because Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. Mashiach, what does exactly that mean? That's subject to discussion, to debate, what that means. Mashiach is born. But you see from Chazal, there's something to being born. There is something, the Mashiach is the Goyal Acharon. The Goyal Acharon is born on Tisha B'Av. And when the Goyal Acharon is born, you don't say Tachnun. Today is the day of Meridika Simcha. Today is the birth of the Goyal Rishon. There's a spark of Geula that comes to the world on this day. And this day you wake up in the morning, Baruch Hashem, you can walk in the street today, finally. What?
Swimming today. This morning was
a little slippery. But, wow, coming today is just unbelievable. Ah, the ear, right? After a week of misery. Woo.
I thought it was good. 46 degrees, I put my foot down.
It was slippery. Ooh, you fell?
No.
Oh, yeah.
About 20 seconds.
Okay, it's very dangerous. If you didn't shovel yesterday, it's very dangerous. But today is the day of Simcha, the birth of Moshiach Shel Yisrael was born today. Minug bells. Okay, you know bells, that big building there at Shul? What do they do? No, I saw in the sun they have a pshara. Shachris, they say Tachnun, and Minucha, they do not.
Bells is Ashkenaz.
What?
The Nusach Tefillah in bells originally in the city was the Ashkenaz.
Yeah. Probably, by Satma also was probably Ashkenaz.
Right, Satma was also Ashkenaz. So the city kept to the minhag Ashkenaz, which did not.
Okay, but it seems what I've read is that even today, there is a luach. The minhag bells is it's a day of mixed emotions. Mitzad echad, it's the petir of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an eitz tzara. Moshe did not want to die. That's the main why he didn't want to die. When mishtatef in his tzar, but mitzad sheni, it's a very great simcha v'klal Yisrael b'feirush Gemara. It's the lade of the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. How do we reconcile these two? So some are very unique. There's a Shara, you say Tachnun. Mincha, you don't say Tachnun. Now, in fact, today is also a day that is miyuchad for the Chevra Kadisha. V'lo yoda ish es kivurasai. Moshe, who was the one who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? The only one that got this honor in the whole Ishaya Tanakh, the only one that was buried by Kadosh Baruch Hu, buried by Hashem, was Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo yoda ish es kivurasai Kadosh Baruch Hu v'yikvar oitzoi bagai. Hashem buried him bagai. Menelo, on this day we give credit and we take note of the people that no one wants to give credit to, no one pays attention to, the Chevra Kadisha. Today Zainadar is a miyuchad day for the Chevra Kadisha because they identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the ones who do Chesed Shel Emes Vayikbar Oysei Bagai. They're doing the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not appreciated, so too more or less the Chevra Kadisha, they're also not appreciated the way they should. They're on duty 24/7, they have to leave. They it all depends on today's everything's a business today, but even so, Chevra Kadisha traditionally in the old cities they were on call 24/7, and it's a Chesed Shel Emes. They're acting like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No one doesn't get appreciated, buried Moshe Rabbeinu, and today there are different customs as what they do. One custom is they all get together, they fast, some fast the entire day. Until late in the day, they fast. Why do they fast? Because they do kapara for perhaps not treating the mason with dignity. Dealing with the nesim is a very difficult thing, and perhaps they did not properly give the cover to the nesim, so it is their custom to fast to fakapara if they did something wrong in regard to giving proper respect. They also go to the cemetery, and they mespalal in the cemetery. And in the cemetery, they ask mechila from the nesim in case they did not do something correct. When the fast is over at night they have it's traditional to have a very lavish su'udah. A very lavish suda, not just stama suda, but a lavish suda, even with meat. And there are stories where there were tkuvas when there was famine or there was disease, and they couldn't afford to have meat. And the rabbanim said having meat by the suda zayin adar after the fast is a neder. It's a davar gadol ad ma'od. It's a neder, and under all conditions, you have the suda must go on, even if you can't afford. You have to go through the extra effort to have the suda both in covet. And at the suda, what was done? They would darshan the covet of Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, last night I went online to Hebrewbooks.org. I was trying to find something that Zayin Adar. There's not too much material in Zayin Adar, and I found a whole sefer, almost 400 pages, in a kadmain about the drashos, a record, a recording of all of the drashos that this girl, I don't remember who it was, I can't remember the names, who had what he said, all of the drashos that he said at the Seudos of Zayin Adar. I don't remember who it was. And a whole big sefer on the drushes, it's like a very heavy drush, in honor of Moshe Rabbeinu. What else do they do? This was a minute that was done. Today, people do this on Tisha B'Av, is they would mourn, they would eulogize all of the tzaddikim that died the entire past year, from the last Zayin Adar. Today, you see, it's becoming a trend that on Tisha B'Av, you see Darshanim, they mention all of the people, tzaddikim, who passed, left this world since the last Tisha B'Av. Or various tragedies, people who are no longer here since the previous Tisha B'Av. But this really is taken away from what was used to be done in Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar, they would speak about all of the tzaddikim who died since the previous Zayin Adar. They were eulogized. That was a day that was devoted to the tzaddikim. Now the Sfarim are a different meaning. The Sfarim, it really fits more along with what they did in Bels. They did in Bels today is that they only fasted a half a day, not the entire day. Half a day is sufficient to fast, and then after Mincha, they would break their fast with a lavish Suda. And at the lavish Suda, they would dash in honor of Moshe Rabbeinu and also make mention of all the people who passed away in the past year. Now, Zayin Adar is also... Zayin Adar, there's another in about Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar is a day that we have to take appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's not just Yom HaAtzma'ot, and it's not just Yom Yerushalayim, and it's not just Shavuos, the day for Eretz Yisrael, but all the days of Eretz Yisrael, to appreciate Eretz Yisrael, it's an interesting idea, is Zayin Adar. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had very great sign that he was not buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why was he not buried? Because he called himself an Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Horoyim. Ben Tziporot, Yisrael's daughter, Tzipora, she said an Ish Mitzri. And because Moshe Rabbeinu did not identify himself as an Ish Yehudi, but as an Ish Mitzri, he was punished that he was not buried in Eretz Yisrael. So on this very day when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, and Hashem buried him, Vayikbar Asa Bagai, V'lo Yada Ish Es Kivura, so no one knows where his burial is, it's Bagai, Bahar Ahar, wherever it is, wherever this place is, there's a reminder, it's a polite reminder, you should appreciate where you come from. You should appreciate Ani Yehudi. You should appreciate that you are an Ish Yehudi. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Look what he lost at. Moshe did not enter Eretz Yisrael. He was not buried in Yisrael because of that failure to recognize the chashivos of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in Zayin Adar, part of the tainus, part of the fasting, we fast. What are we fasting for? We're fasting to be mishtatif in the tsar of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he did not enter Eretz Yisrael. When Mesabel on the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu, what it meant for Klal Yisrael, what he meant for Klal Yisrael, the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu, but also in Mesabel on the fact that we are, to some degree, also don't really appreciate Eretz Yisrael the way we should. If we really appreciate Eretz Yisrael the way we should, it would be today a different Eretz Yisrael. We wouldn't even be here in America. We would be there in Eretz Yisrael. It would be all, Mashiach would have come long ago. We have a nitzaitz of Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miad Horoyim, and that's part of the tainus, and that's part of the need to fall tachlon on Zayin Adar, to acknowledge we are lacking.
795 people on the way to Eretz Yisrael in the boat Struma was sunk today by the Turkish government.
What year?
Must have been
World War II.
Yeah, 39 or 40. No, escaping from Romania. 40.
Terrible. 700. They were sunk by Turkey. They knew what they were doing. Murder. Unbelievable. Okay, so this is the Zayin Adar. This is a powerful insight of what Zayin Adar is about. Now, Derek Aga.
What's the reason that? That you shouldn't say
Tachnun. You should not say Tachnun?
Well, give us what's the other side there?
What? You should not?
Yeah.
You should not?
You said that you should say.
So we said before that it's the birth of the Moshion Shel Yisrael.
Okay.
It's the Feresh of Gemara. The birth, on Tisha B'Av, do we say Tachnun?
No.
No, it's a Moyet. What's one of the reasons why we don't say Tachnun? It's the birth of Mashiach. So today was really the birth of Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Goyal Rishon. Mashiach is a process. Gul is a process. It started with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we go through multiple layers, multiple versions of Gula until we come to the ultimate Gula. Today, Zayin Adar, Moshe was born. He was born. So just like on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach is born, we don't say Adar, we don't say Tachnun. So today, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. How could you say Tachnun on the day when the Moshiach and Shel Yisrael is born? It's a tremendous simcha for Klal Yisrael. And don't tell me that the birth is not significant. It's a Farish Gemara. Haman made a mistake. He thought that Zayin Adar has a bad day for Klal Yisrael because Moshe died. The Gemara says, fool! It's a wonderful day for Klal Yisrael. The Moshiach and Shel Yisrael was born. So how can you say Tachan on a day when the Moshiach and Shel Yisrael was born? So we have conflicting. It's a bittersweet day to Zayin Adar. And therefore, Belz is a very good attitude. They say Tachnun Shachris. Minchal, they don't say Tachnun. The Svardim, they fast Bedavka half a day. It's not the Pshat, it's too hard. No, you fast Bedavka half a day. You Makabal Tainus the day before, half a day in the morning, and then after Minchal you finish, and then you have a Suda to celebrate the Mashiach and Shal Yisrael.
They do it on other days.
Oh, well, now that's a very tough Shaila. Bizman has said, what do we do? We're talking about Adar Aleph. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, he says that the Minhag HaOlam is to follow Aleph. Even though when it comes to yard sites, Ruba Deruba is the base, and we discussed this last week. Ruba Deruba, we have a 2 year, a double Adar. Most things we push to Adar base. However, for some reason, the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mishnah, the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram says it should be observed in Adar Rishon and not Sheni. And the Mishnah Berurah says that is the Minhag. Very interesting. The Nitei Gavriel, where I quote a lot of the stuff, he just says that most of the Poskim do not agree with the Mishnah Berurah. Most of the Poskim say that you should observe Zayin Adar in Adar Beis. Adar Beis. All right, I don't really know. I don't like my.
Well, I mean that Yerushalayim is
Adar Beis. Yeah, okay, could be. Okay, so I don't know. I'm not familiar. I don't really see anyone making a big. In my circles, people don't even know it's Zayin Adar. I live in a bubble. You don't even know Zayin Adar, some degree. So, but he Mishnah Berurah does say that the minhag is to observe Adar Aleph. That's why we're talking about it today. Now, also, so I saw one in the parish, why Adar Aleph? Well, first of all, there's a tradition that Moshe was born in Adar Aleph. He was born in a year when there were two Adars, and he was born in Adar Aleph.
It couldn't have been two
Adars. Well, that's when he was born. All right, whatever it is. That's what you really know. Well, and another reason, because it always falls out in Parashas Tetzaveh. Zayin Adar always falls out in Parashas Tetzaveh. And Parashas Tetzaveh, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. Moshe said, Mochenina Misifrach Asher Kosafta. If you don't want to forgive Klal Yisrael, then erase me from your Torah. So I feel the words of a tzaddik come true, even if it was al tnai, even if it was only on a condition. So since Moshe said Mochina Misivcha, Moshe's name does not appear in Parshas Tetzaveh, and Parshas Tetzaveh always is in the vicinity of Adar Aleph. What?
No, I'm just like, why Parshas?
Because normally
in the next part,
right? So the answer is because that's the week when Moshe was Niftar,
so
Moshe Patira, he's Nelam. Moshe is Patira, he disappears. So in a year when there's only one Adar, it's always going to be Tetzaveh. In a year when there's a double Adar, only Adar Aleph is Tetzaveh. So some want to take this as a sign that since anyway it's only a Minhag, and since Tetzaveh is always Adar Aleph, so that should be the proper place to observe the Yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Zman, maybe because it's Adar Sheni, it's already Purim, because also there's a conflict. Mishenichnas Adar Marben Besimcha. So how are you allowed to devote the whole Tkufa to Moshe Rabbeinu? So therefore it's very easy in the year when there's a double Adar, so the Simcha is primarily an Adar Sheni, that's when Purim is. So the time of Avelus, you focus, you push to Adar Rishon. A regular yard side, no, so that the meaning is to observe both. That's a very complicated issue, so the meaning is to observe both. But Moshe Rabbeinu is Navelus Yeshana. It's Navelus Yeshana. You don't have to observe both. It's enough to observe one. If you're only going to observe one, it's sufficient to do with the first Adar. It's Parshas Tetzaveh. It's not conflicting with the Simcha of Purim that's in the second Adar. It is a more ideal time. And there's a big machlek is exactly where Moshe is buried. Now you tell me what he machlekes. We don't know where he's buried. But what I mean is Moshe buried on the same mountain as Aaron HaKohen? Aaron is buried on Hor HaHor. So there is a medrash that says that Har, the only thing that we know about Moshe Rabbeinu is buried on Har Nevo. What is Har Nevo? It's not really clear what it is. So someone would say Har Nevo is the same as Hor HaHor. And in fact, there are four terms. I'm sure you can make a good drasha for this. A Zayin Adar drasha. There are four terms that the Medrash says are exactly the same. Har Hoavorim, Har Nevo, Hor HaHor, and the Rosh HaPiska. the Rosh HaHalel, Rosh HaPiskah. These four terms are one and the same. Four different ways of looking at a particular mountain. Har HaHar, Har Nevo, Rosh HaPiskah, Har HaAvarim. It's all the same. Aaron is there. Moshe. We don't know where Aaron is buried either, by the way. No one knows where Aaron is, but it doesn't say in the Torah. In the Torah, it only says V'lo yada ishes kivurasa, only in regard to Moshe. It does not say this in regard to Aaron, which seems to indicate that there was some, at one point in time, in ancient times, they did know where Aaron was nifter, where he was.
They did the burial.
No, only Moshe did the burial. Moshe did the burial. Maybe Moshe...
So, some person...
The secret.
Burial.
So Moshe knew what it was, right. But maybe Moshe died, the secret was lost with him. Did Moshe reveal the place Moshe went up alone with... Moshe and Elazar v'Yisamar. Moshe and Elazar v'Yisamar went up with Aaron to Har HaHar. Moshe and Elazar v'Yisamar buried Aaron. So with Moshe's death and Aaron, Elazar v'Yisamar, did they transmit to Klal Yisrael exactly where the location was? Mistama, they did. And Mistama, they didn't know where he was buried. But we don't know where Bizman Azed, no one knows, as far as we know, no one ever heard of the Makam Kavura. There's not even a make-believe Makam Kavura. Like, when it comes to everyone else, they claim he's buried here, he's not really buried here. Yosef HaTzadik, they claim he's buried here, some disagree, it's not really so. There's no Machlekes, we don't know where Aaron is, that is for sure. And Moshe, anyone that tells no Moshe, he's going against the Torah, because the Torah says, V'lo yada ish eskiroso, no one knows where Skru is. Now, where is Har Nevo? Let's say indeed it is Har Nevo. So some indeed say that we know it's in Jordan. There is a mountain in Jordan which is 50 kilometers from Yerushalayim, about exactly 50 kilometers from Yerushalayim. And when you stay on this mountain in Jordan, wherever they know where it is, you have a very good view, a beautiful view of Yerushalayim. It's a breathtaking view of Yerushalayim. And indeed, many suggest that Hashem told Moshe Aleil Har Hazeh, or Esar, it's for Shema Lo Yavar. That's exactly what it means. The Jordanians really got it right. Because they call that mount, they call Har Nevo, they actually call Har Nevo, and in fact they built there a monument for Moshe. They built there a Nechash HaNechoshes, a copper, that's what it says, a copper snake. They built some type of monument which looks like a copper snake, you could probably Google it. And Jordan, where the Jordanians... believe Moshe, it is, could be, okay. They believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is there, whatever that means exactly, at least somewhere on the mountain, and that mountain indeed, there's a breathtaking view of Yerushalayim and the whole Eretz Yisrael, which fits very much in line with what it says in the Torah, that Moshe went to the top of the mountain and he saw the whole Eretz Yisrael only 50 kilometers away from coming into Eretz Yisrael. That really gives a lot of life, a lot of flavor to the meaning in the beginning of Chumash Devarim. Now on this day, he's supposed to do a lot of things in the Zuchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And one of the best things you can do in the Zuchus, in fact, there's a whole Haggadah of all the things that you're supposed to lay. You're supposed to lay from the beginning of Chumash, Devarim, say in Tehillim, there are 11 Mizmorim, which are attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Psukim, the Mishnayis, but there are certain simple things that you can do. The one thing was last night, you're supposed to say, Moshe Uvenei Yisrael Lachanu Shira B'Simcha Rabav Yom Ruchulam. When you said those words in Ma'ariv, you're supposed to have a lot of kavana, Moshe Neishol, and then today, if you're not fasting, it's to say the first bracha with kavana, because the first bracha, Birchas Hamazon, was composed by Moshe. So what greater schus can you have for Parnasa than to actually wash today, eat a piece of bread, and have kavana and recite on the Yom Petira? What greater thing can you do for Moshe Rabbeinu? You can learn Torah, it's Torah's Moshe, Avada. But this also, in addition, and another thing to do is to have kavana when you recite Birchas Hamazon, the very first bracha, the bracha that Moshe composed in honor of the Mon. Think about it. This Tu B'Shvat, that's Rav Nachman Milam Liminov, to say the Parnas Mon, but today is a very big secret people don't know about. We want to have a Zchus of the Mon, Zchus of Parnasa. So today you say Birchas Hamazon, the first bracha, and Zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll help you out in Parnasa. Everyone can use help in Parnasa.
Oh, Yechi had a name of Rainu, started with Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yechi
didn't want to believe he was dead, he was the Mashiach.
What are you talking about?
Didn't the Malachim carry him in the sky to show the Yidden that he was dead? As a matter of fact.
Yeah. But he really was alive. He really didn't die at that point in time. That was before the Ego. That was during the Ego. Then later on he died. All right. Let's not go there. All right. There are a lot of the you got to have a chasnas. Some people are very mocked, but not have a wedding on Zayin Adar. Last night and today, no chasnas. Moshe, but you don't want to play around. And there's another very, very, very tough child of a boy's baby is born on Zayin Adar. Baby is born. Let's say maybe even a bris on Zayin Adar. Can you name the name Moshe? So you think, of course, right? That's the best thing you can possibly do. So Adarab, a lot of Mepharshim say, don't do it. You do not name a baby born on Zayin Adar, but Dafka, you don't name Moshe because no one compares to Moshe. Moshe is not like all the other Gedolei Yisrael, which we run, we cherish naming a name and Zchus. Moshe, the covet is not to name a baby Moshe on the day of Yisrael. We name him Moshe the whole year round, no problem about it. But don't go so far to think that the child, per parent, should not go so far to think, oh, my baby was born on Zayin Adar. Memele, his name is Moshe, and his name is, I know there's a very, very well big Talmud Chacham who today's his yard side of Moshe Fruchthandler. He was a very good person. Moshe Fruchthandler, Chaim Bolin, one of the Fruchthandler brothers. He was nifter very young, a couple of years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. I remember him very well. He was full of fire. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. He was a Balkore. Yeah, I learned how to learn from him. I learned by listening to him. A lot of the things that I don't learn all the time, but when I learn, a lot of the things that I do, I got straight from him. He had a lot of unique minhagim in Kriya Satara, and today's his yahrzeit Zayin Adar, and it's very bizarre. His name is Moshe. His name is Moshe.
He
wasn't born on this day, but you can't say it's not a bizarre thing. No, he's not the oldest. So today's his yahrzeit. Okay, so the Shiloh, do you have, you should not name a baby that's born in that name. Okay, we mentioned the Shiloh about having a chasna. Another very big Shiloh is Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is the time of Simcha. It's a very great simcha. You have to do the Shabbos. Are you allowed to do Kiddush Levana on Zayin Adar? Not so pashat. Some are very makbid not to do. It's not a time to do. The Petir of Moshe Rabbeinu is not a time to do Kiddush Levana. Some even go so far to say that you should not do Kiddush Levana until after Zayin, the whole month. You know, this past Mitzvah Shabbos, I asked the Gabbai, how come you're not making an announcement for Kiddush Levana? So he goes.
Violent was 2 days before Shkai.
Okay, but still. It's still Kiddush Levana, Kiddush Levana. Kabbalah Svenei Shechina. What?
Beautiful moon out of.
Did you do it? Did you do it?
Yes.
You did it? I didn't do it.
We did Masor Shabbos also.
Okay. I was very surprised that he didn't want to do it. I didn't do it yet. But I was
just every night now.
So yeah, it's right. That was it. So like he said to me, no, it's Mamish Pikuch Nefesh. Sakana, it's Pikuch Nefesh. I said, don't you want it to be said about you that you were Makabal Pnei Hashem in the freezing cold? I met my mother with him and my grandfather that they used to go in Poland. They used to break open to go to mikvah. So what's the big deal? You're not going into a mikvah of ice water. You're going outside wearing a coat. You put on a scarf, earmuffs, some gloves, and you makabel the pnei hashchina. So he said to me, "Not for me, but not for the cheshbon, not for the oilam. I'm not going to go put someone in sakana. For me, you're right. I should do it. Whatever. It's a good thing to do, but I can't go tell the tzibur to go out and do it. The tzibur, I'm telling the tzibur not to do it because it's a sakana. So that's his approach. Very good. I appreciate that. That's you know." But some taka this year and the years, the son of a hakpot, he brings down, there's a hakpot, the bedavka, the whole chodesh until Zayin you don't. Because until Zayin passes, we're in the tkuf of the avelos of Moshe Rabbeinu, so you don't do Kiddush Levana until Zayin passes. In the Nitei Gavriel, he quotes one of the achronim that ripped this svara to shreds. Mamish ripped this to shreds. How dare you say something like this? There's no such thing like this. You do Kiddush Levana, maybe on Zayin you don't do, but to say that you shouldn't do Kiddush Levana from Gimel to those who do it, and the chassidim don't do it anyway until Zayin. But those who do it from Gimel, there's no such thing you have to do. There's no such thing you have to do Kiddush Levana. Okay, let me just make sure I got everything. We're just about finished. Why did Hashem hide Moshe Rabbeinu's makom? Why can't we know where his kavur is? What would be so bad? Because we'll make work and make him to have Avodah Zarah. That's one answer. Hashem didn't want us to make Moshe's kavur into a makom avodah zara. But the truth is, it's a gemara and it's very mysterious. It's a gemara masechta saita. You know, it's very funny. And the gemara masechta saita, which disappeared. It's like Moshe was Nelam, just like Moshe's name was taken out of Parashas Tetzaveh. There's a shtickle gemara masechta saita that disappeared, and it's only quoted by the Bach, and it's quoted by other svarim, and the Ein Yaakov has it. But in our standard gemaras, it's missing. The gemara asked the kasha, why did Moshe Hashem lo yod? The Gemara says because when Klal Yisrael would leave, would go into Galus, Rachel Mavakal Barneha. So just like they went to Rachel, they cried to Rachel, and because of Rachel, Mashiach will come. They would have gone to Moshe. Had they gone to Moshe, Moshe would have been mispalel, and Hashem couldn't say no to Moshe, and Hashem would have to let Klal Yisrael remain there to Yisrael, and that would not have been what Hashem wanted for whatever reason. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately, Hashem saw the future; they would go into Galus. Hashem had to hide Moshe Rabbeinu's kever, so they should not have the opportunity to dive into Moshe Rabbeinu's kever. Halfway fella, this is the Gemara, which is Nelam, just like Moshe's name was taken off the Tzavah. This Gemara disappeared from Parashas, from Pesach Saita, only appears in the Achronim, quoting from the Gemara, and it appears in Yaakov. Okay, very, very, very bizarre. Daf Tes, I think it's Daf Tes, with Daf Yud, Pesach the Sod, look in the Ein Yaakov. Look in the Ein Yaakov, and look at the Gemara, and you're going to see it disappear. Daf Tes, Saita, or Yud, you'll see. Okay, another. Okay, also wanted to mention, we don't say on Shabbos Sitkoscha, Shabbos Mincha, because Moshe was lifted on Shabbos, Shabbos Mincha. That's why it's Yom HaDin, Shabbos Mincha, you say Sitkoscha, Tzidik HaDin, and you don't greet every Shabbos, the entire year. The reason why we say Sitkoscha is a Zecher for Moshe Rabbeinu, who was nifter on Shabbos Mincha, and we don't greet our friend, you don't say good Shabbos after Mincha, because it's a time of Avelos.
Shabbos,
but the Zeicher of Moshe, this type of Avelus we do have, Zeicher Moshe. There's something I'm forgetting, I'll tip my tongue, I know I want to tell you, I'm just forgetting. Yes, some of the minute to stay up the entire night last night. Shavuos, you stay up the whole night learning? It's a bigger thing to stay up last night learning. To learn Tiras Moshe. What great is Chus? Moshe Ames v'Tayrosav to step to step to learning the night of Moshe Rabbeinu. Some also they say you should say last night Tikkun Chatzos. Some say Tikkun Chatzos by day. The only time you say Tikkun Chatzos by day is Zayin Adar. Those who do these things. All right, I think I got it all. So we should.
Before it was a Sephardi by the name of Uriah Phillips Levy.
Yeah.
He was in the Navy at a young age, and he was a big speculator.
Oh, there's one important thing I want to tell you. One important thing is that the minig is to go. This is a very nice story. There's a minig to go to the Beis HaKvaris. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to go today from Moshe Rabbeinu on the Yom B'tira? So some say you should go to Meron, to the Kev of Rashbi. Rashbi. Some say, what should I go to Rashbi? They say, halacha, let's say a person, the yards of a pair, and the parents in Eretz Yisrael, it's burning Eretz Yisrael, and you can't go in America. So he brings down that just like you go to Meron, you go to Tzadikim on the day of B'tira of Moshe Rabbeinu, on a yard site, a person should go to any cemetery. If your parent is in a cemetery that's out of reach, it's long distance, you can go to the local cemetery and down by the tzaddik in the local cemetery. Why? Sadna da'ara chadhu. All the graves are connected. When you mispal by one grave, you automatically mo'oyer the zechus of another grave. Rabbi, what do you want to say?
Uriah Phillips is buried over here in Cypress Hill. In 1880, he bought Monticello, which was in a ruin, and he donated it in his Savah to the United States government. In the Capitol, there's a statue of Thomas Jefferson, which is the only privately endowed statue in the Capitol of Thomas Jefferson. He started it. Every state started donating things. He's a Sephardi. He's buried in this Portuguese, Spanish.
Where?
In Brooklyn. They have a section, a whole section.